Coming up on the campaign trail, we will examine the issues that are playing out in the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin, the race between the current Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and his Democratic challenger, former Democratic Senator Russ Feingold. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This week, a conservative group put out an ad criticizing Feingold for his stances on issues and his record on voting against military pay raises. Meanwhile, Wisconsin Democrats countered with a report criticizing Senator Johnson's record supporting veterans issues. We'll talk with a WIS Politics reporter about the Johnson-Feingold race during this edition of On the Campaign Trail, and we will welcome your questions and your views. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Which candidate are you supporting in the race for Wisconsin U.S. Senate? Ron Johnson or Russ Feingold? And why? J.R. Ross is the editor at wispolitics.com. Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good. And you reported on this new anti-Feingold ad that a conservative group put out this week, I believe. Let's take a listen to this ad, and then we'll talk more about it.
I'll take liberals for 200.
This U.S. senator voted to raise taxes 278 times.
Who is Russ Feingold?
Correct.
Liberals for 400.
He voted against pay raises for the military 15 times.
Who is Russ Feingold?
Correct.
Liberals for 600.
This senator voted to give illegal immigrants amnesty, allowing them to collect Social Security, welfare, and health care benefits.
Who is Russ Feingold?
Correct. Tell Russ Feingold we're tired of paying for his liberal games.
All right, so that was put up by a conservative group called Wisconsin Alliance for Reform, and it went after Russ Feingold for raising taxes, for voting against pay raises for the military, and amnesty for illegal immigrants. J.R., who is the Wisconsin Alliance for Reform?
It's a conservative group. It's kind of a new one on the scene, but this is kind of what they do. They're an issue advocacy organization. Those are those groups that they run the ads like that one. They don't say the magic words under federal law, right? Vote for, vote against, oppose, support, but say things like, call Senator Feingold and tell him he's blank, or call Senator Johnson, tell him he's out of step with Wisconsin. Those kinds of ads. You'll see a lot of those. Those ones don't have to be reported in any way to the federal government, so we don't know, like, where the money comes from, those kinds of things. And it's an effective message vehicle, if you will, for these groups to kind of go out there and get an early hit on somebody ahead of next year's election.
Yeah, the Feingold campaign emailed us some response yesterday in response to the ad. It pointed out that the Wisconsin Alliance for Reform is a nonprofit whose sole purpose is to attack Feingold. And they say they don't have to say where their money comes from. So what kind of effects are groups like this going to have in our Senate race?
Well, we've already seen several ads in this race on both sides. Senator Johnson, for example, is the subject of a couple of ads about the environment that we've seen. This one, other groups are going to weigh in because if you look at the national Senate map, there are, you know, 5 to 7, 8 seats are really kind of top of the list right now. This one's one of the top three. Illinois is probably considered the number one target for Democrats because that's the most vulnerable Republican in the most Democratic seat. Wisconsin is probably number two for a couple of factors. One, Senator Johnson won in 2010 in a Republican wave. It was a great environment that year for the GOP. That swept him in the office. Now we're talking about a presidential election. Now, the caveat is we have no idea what the environment will be like next fall. It could be much different than what we're used to. Who knows who the nominees will be, et cetera. But the last few cycles in Wisconsin, we've seen a huge uptick in Democratic turnout in presidential elections compared to off-year races. We become a blue state in presidential years. That benefits former Senator Feingold. So if the environment holds true to the trend, you would say that Feingold probably has at least a slight upper hand right now, which makes Johnson probably the number two or three target for Democrats nationally to try and flip a seat, because they need to flip, I believe it's 5, mm-hmm. to win back control, at minimum, to win back control of the Senate next year.
And we are, you know, a year away from the election. How unusual is it for these types of ads, these are third-party ads, to be running so early in the race?
Well, the races start earlier and earlier every year, it seems like, every cycle. So from that standpoint, it's not that unusual. But what's kind of happening a little bit here is that if you look at the polls about the Feingold-Johnson race so far, and let's use the Marquette poll, for example, when Feingold first announced back in the spring, he had a huge lead. Then it kind of shrunk to 5 points. Then it snapped back to a huge lead again about a month and a half ago. What's happening is the presidential race has been sucking up all the oxygen, if you will, or attention from people. And so the Senate race has been a little bit under the radar, and the numbers have been very volatile. Director Charles Franklin of that poll has said that things have been bouncing around in part because of that. So what you're seeing is groups going out and saying, okay, can we turn the numbers a little bit? Can we get a message in there that's effective? Can we, and honestly, try out some messages? I'm not sure this will be the message you'll see against Russ Feingold going forward, but they might go in, a lot of groups do this. They will poll before their ad. They'll run the ad and then poll afterward and say, okay, was that message effective, for example? Same with Senator Johnson in the environmental ad. I'm sure they went in the field and said, okay, here's where he's at according to our poll. We ran our ad. Now where is he at? Does that mean it's an effective message going forward that he's vulnerable to this? And they'll do a little of that. There's also a little going on in terms of trying to define these guys. Remember, Russ Feingold, you know, was fairly well known while he's in office. He's been out of office for 5 years now. You know, people may have kind of forgotten some things about him. So for Republicans, they want to remind people of the things that they think are bad about Russ Feingold, right? So they're bringing these things up to try and take some of the sheen off of Russ Feingold. Democrats, obviously, we'll be talking about other things, about the Maverick reputation, et cetera. So a little bit of kind of like defining, because remember, we're going to have a very busy year next year in Wisconsin. We're going to have in the spring at least one presidential primary going on, probably maybe two, depends on how the two parties play out. State Supreme Court race, we got big county executive races in Milwaukee and mayoral race there, then the summer, and then it's going to be a full onslaught of presidential ads all next year, right? If you can get a message in early, you can kind of help plant some seeds, if you will, mm-hmm. in the public's minds before they get just overwhelmed by the onslaught TV ads next fall.
This is On the Campaign Trail. It's a special segment that we have every Thursday at this time examining issues that are making news on the campaign trail, not just the presidential campaign trail. Today we are looking at some of the issues playing out in the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin between Senator Ron Johnson and his challenger, former Senator Russ Feingold. And we're welcoming your questions for our guest, J.R. Ross, an editor at the editor at wispolitics.com. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So what do you think Senator Johnson has done since taking office 5 years ago? Has he done well, or has he been a disappointment? How about Russ Feingold? Are you hoping to send Russ Feingold back, or do you think he was defeated by Ron Johnson for a reason? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Talking about this week, in part because a conservative group called Wisconsin Alliance for Reform is put out a new TV ad knocking Democratic Senate candidate Russ Feingold for tax hikes and voting against pay raises for the military. Wisconsin Democrats responded that Senator Ron Johnson has been no friend of the military either. J.R., tell us about that.
Oh, there's a lot of mud flying already on this. There are a couple of things they've said, for example. I mean, there's the VA issue out in Toma. There's a little, if you will, mud in everybody's shoes on that one. Remember the overprescription of opiads mm-hmm. out there. There have been lots of kind of knocking back and forth about who did what once they were in knowledge about what was going on. There's the budget deal last week, two-year budget deal that Senator Johnson voted against. So you're going to see lots of votes picked apart, if you will, between now and next November, in which both sides are going to try and paint the other as somebody who's not a friend of.
Oops, do we still have you, JR?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, it sounded like we lost the connection, but we do still have you. Feingold's campaign also told us that this ad against Feingold, or that ads against Feingold, have been debunked time and time again. The campaign told us that Club for Growth was called out by factcheck.org for running erroneous ads, and that another group tried to yank an attack ad because it contained a fake photo of President Obama with the Ayatollah of Iran. The campaign is obviously still very young. How nasty have the ads been so far on both sides?
I mean, you know, I've been covering this for a while now. I would say they weren't anything I haven't seen before. They're not the worst that I've seen, and I'm sure they're going to get worse. I mean, part of what's happening in politics these days is, you know, how do you get people's attention? How do you break through the clutter? And sometimes it is the hardest hitting ad you can find. And, you know, people seem to hate negative ads, but if you look at studies about them, and actually Ken Goldstein used to be at UW-Madison a few years back, he did one and found that negative ads actually work. The people who see them are more informed about what's going on and more knowledgeable, and they move the dial. So as long as they're effective, they're going to keep using them.
Feingold renounced his pledge that a majority of his fundraising would come from Wisconsin donors, something that Johnson has pointed out. But Feingold says recent court decisions have fundamentally changed the way people have to campaign. How much do voters care about where a candidate's funding comes from?
It's a good question. You know, in the races that I've covered, I've rarely seen somebody lose because of a campaign finance or an issue or, you know, where did he or she stand on a campaign finance law or an ethics law, for example? But the thing with Feingold is not really just about where the money comes from. It's about who he is. What they're trying to do is the same thing that Tammy Baldwin did to Tommy Thompson back in 2012. Remember the line in the Baldwin ad, "He's not for you anymore"? That became a very effective ad on Tommy Thompson. He had at one point been like this beloved figure in Wisconsin politics. Everybody loved Tommy Thompson. He'd won his last re-election as governor with almost 60% of the vote or something like that. This is a guy who was seen as like a juggernaut. He was so well-liked, he'd be great. Well, what Baldwin did really effectively was paint a picture of a guy who wasn't the guy you remembered. You know, Tommy Thompson's different. He's on these corporate boards. He's kind of cashed out from politics. Now, for Republicans now, with Russ Feingold, they want to say, okay, you remember Russ Feingold, or he's trying to portray himself as this maverick who's all about campaign finance reform and telling the outside groups, stay out of my races. I'm raising my hand from Wisconsin. This guy's not who you remember. They are daily putting out emails about how Russ Feingold is teaching in California, for example, or about the broken pledges on campaign finance, where he's going to raise his money, or about if outside groups should play in his races. They're trying to take off that sheen of Russ Feingold as a campaign finance reformer and say this guy has changed. He's not who you remember. Now, is it working? So far in the polls, no. But my guess is you're going to see this message consistently from now until next November because they believe they've seen the playbook work. You know, work with Tommy Thompson. Can it work with Russ Feingold?
Let's go to the phone. Saeed in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Saeed.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. I think that Senator Johnson has done an outstanding job, and you can tell that because he's taken heat from both sides of the political spectrum. He ran promising us fiscal responsibility. He's a healthcare reformer, and he's absolutely strong on national security. And it is amazing to me that Feingold is, in some of his ads, is running as an outsider. His long career in the Senate and his voting record is the reason why we are in the predicament we're in with $18 trillion in debt. And if he has any complaints about campaign finance, well, the McCain-Feingold has a lot to do with the current environment that we find ourselves when we have a government for hire by the biggest bidder. So those are my comments.
All right. Thanks, Saeed. Well, there's a supporter of Senator Johnson. What can you tell us, J.R. Ross, on how strong Senator Johnson has been on, you know, national security, health care, and fiscal responsibility?
Well, those have been kind of his calling cards, if you will, while he's in the Senate. And what's been interesting about Senator Johnson is he's been in office now for 4.5 going on 5 years. His numbers, poll numbers, are not very good. Now, I mean, most freshman lawmakers, hey, look, to be honest, it's still a chore to kind of get well-known. But Johnson has failed to connect in an unusual way almost. Because you look at his poll numbers, he's stuck in like the upper 30s for people who have a positive opinion of him. You also have more than a third electorate having no opinion of him, which goes to suggest that even though he's been in office for 4.5 years and won that election in 2010, people don't know him. They don't have an opinion about him. That's a difficult thing for Johnson because, again, if you look at the environment we're talking about next fall, if we are a blue state in a presidential year, that means Senator Johnson would be fighting against a tie at the top of the ticket where the eventual Democratic nominee would be favored to win here, has to find a way to not only overcome that, but to connect with enough swing voters to have them say, you know what, I'm going to split my ticket and vote for the Democrat for president and Ron Johnson for Senate. We don't see that happening very much anymore. We used to have this reputation kind of as a state with, you know, a moderate streak or what we flip back and forth or whatever. But if you look at the results of 2010 and 2012 and 2014, the top people at the top of the ticket, there isn't much difference. Very narrow gap between Scott Walker in 2010 and Ron Johnson. Very narrow gap between President Obama in 12 and Tammy Baldwin. So the trend suggests those top ticket races kind of go hand in hand. You've got to find a way for Ron Johnson to break that trend and to get enough people in the middle to say, you know what, I'm going to break against the tide and go toward Senator Johnson. Well, if you're not well known, if you don't have that good positive name ID, if you don't have a good opinion of swing, you can't do that. So he's got to find a way, if you're not doing it for 4.5 years, in the next 12 months to flip that. And that's going to be very difficult for him. Now, I'm not saying it can't be done, but that's a big task if you've got 4.5 years already in the book and you haven't been able to pull it off.
Rich on Facebook writes, Senator Russ Feingold visited every one of the 72 counties at least once a year, and you could go and speak to him in person. Johnson has been in office for 5 years, and no one has seen him. And when you do hear of him showing up, it is after the fact and has usually been done in a right-wing place of business. What about that as, I guess, a criticism from the left?
Sure. Well, you know, Russ Feingold did have the 72-county pledge that he'd go visit everyone. That was definitely part of his kind of platform, if you will. For Senator Johnson, it is true that he does tend, or used to, speak more to a friendly audience, if you will. He has, if you look at his calendar last year or so, he's done a much better job of getting out of that cocoon and talking to more groups. But that's part of what people tell me has built up to this now, where he's not as well known as he maybe could be, because he wasn't breaking out of the box and going out to his groups. But you are seeing him make a much more concerted effort to do that, get out and talk to folks. And he needs to do that to connect with people and break out of that, you know, 38, 37, whatever it is, percent approval rating. He has to have a better chance for re-election next fall.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then after that, we'll continue talking about the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin, the 2016 Wisconsin U.S. Senate race, featuring the incumbent Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and his Democratic challenger, former Democratic U.S. Senator Russ Feingold. What do you think of the job that Senator Johnson has done in office? Do you think it's time to send Feingold back or not? What questions do you have about the race or how the issues are playing out in the race or how the candidates stand on the issues? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with J.R. Ross. He is the editor at wispolitics.com. He reported on a new anti-Feingold ad that came out this week from a conservative group, criticizing Russ Feingold for his military voting record, among other things. We'll talk about why the military is an issue in this campaign, too, after the news. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is On the Campaign Trail, and we are talking with a Wispolitics editor about the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin between Senator Ron Johnson and former Senator Russ Feingold. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So which candidate are you supporting in the race for Wisconsin U.S. Senate, Ron Johnson or Russ Feingold, and Why? Let us know. As we are focusing on this race and the issues in this race during this edition of On the Campaign Trail. We decided to do this today because a conservative group called Wisconsin Alliance for Reform has put out a new TV ad knocking Democrat Russ Feingold for tax hikes and voting against pay raises for the military. And at the same time, Wisconsin Democrats are going after Senator Johnson, saying he has failed Wisconsin veterans. So that's one of the issues we're examining. And J.R. Ross, I'm wondering if we can start this segment off talking about why is the military foremost in the race at this time?
Well, it's almost like a third rail, if you will, that the military is kind of sacred, that you don't mess with the troops, if you will, or underfund them or mess around with their pay raises. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that's I don't want to sound flip, but it's an easy hit, if you will, that you can find a way that they're not being a friend to the military to say that they're putting troops in harm's way. So you see that a lot in campaigns. It's the only one where you've seen stuff like this.
Yeah. Well, is there some reason for Democrats to question Senator Johnson's commitment to the military?
Oh, you know, last week with the budget vote, they voted against it. They're going to say, look, that one was going to, you know, fund X, Y, and Z for the troops, and he voted against this example of where he's, you know, I'm just trying to, like, paraphrase the argument that they're saying, but here's an example where his extreme ideology is, you know, put troops, something like that. So that's part of it. Often in politics, what you see happen is that they will take a vote that could be motivated by a totally different issue, but it has some connection, and they pour through these things and pull out all these kind of attacks, if you will. Those mailers you get, you know, every fall, those kind of 5x7 or whatever kind of placards that you get in the mail that have the glossy pictures and all these, like, very small type at the bottom with, like, vote, you know, 1,432, session whatever. That's what those I'm talking about. You see these kind of these great research outfits who go through all these things and pull out the attacks or working after somebody on a vulnerable issue.
Yeah. And is this, do you think, one reason why the Wisconsin Alliance for Reform brings up his voting against pay raises for the military?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's like the heart of the issue, right? You don't mess with the troops' pay. And there's an example that they can cite. You know, I'm not sure what the research is. I haven't gone through all their fine print, if you will, their ad. But that's what they're saying, that Russ Feingold hasn't been a friend of the troops.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Ron Johnson has said that U.S. troops are needed in Syria. Is this something that Feingold's campaign will likely pounce on in the coming months?
That's a good question, because how does that issue play with the public? That, you know, some of the stances you see these guys take, it depends on how it's playing with the public. I don't know if the public is really engaged on Syria and, like, totally plugged into what that means. So, it depends on how it plays, and you'll get a sense better if you see some polling on that. But how does it play? That's what I was kind of questioning. How does it play with the public? Are they really motivated by that? Usually, you know, a question in a national race like this is, how are you feeling about your personal situation, number one? What motivates you, like your taxes, your kids, how are they doing in school, how their school is doing, how are you secure are you feeling? So do people feel secure? If not, is there a way to tie that to those are the kind of questions that kind of go into that attack becomes effective.
Janet in Menasha is with us. Hello, Janet.
Oh, hi, Joy, and your guest. It's very frustrating when I turn on the TV and I see an ad like the one that you wrote about, and they have a very misrepresentation of Russ Feingold's record. And he has been, you know, a great proponent of many, you know, positive things for the military and for veterans, et cetera. But they only, you know, they'll just pull something out of maybe this or that or the other bill had an item, a line item that might have included some kind of a cut to the military. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's against the military in any way. And, you know, or the veterans for that matter. So I feel those kind of ads are real typical of the denigration of character and character assassination kind of way that the right wing seems to, you know, put their ads out. And at the same time, Russ Feingold's ads, if you, you know, ever look back at his record, he's very much upbeat. He's more about, you know, connecting with people and really representative of how honest he is. His integrity as a senator, to me, is probably as good as any politician in the history of our country. And I hope that other people will see through those smoke and mirrors, kind of those ads that represent them in a bad light.
Thank you very much, Janet. Yeah, the ad against Russ Feingold from Wisconsin Alliance for Reform states that Russ Feingold voted against pay raises for the military 15 times. But maybe what's not said is that when he took those votes, it was because it was a bad budget for other reasons or something along those lines, at least according to what Feingold thought was a bad budget. J.R. Ross?
Yeah, well, what's interesting about Feingold is he's a challenger here, but he has a longer legislative record than the incumbent does. So remember, you know, Russ Feingold's reputation in the Senate was that he voted against lots of spending bills because he was a maverick. He was a good steward of the taxpayer dollar. Now, in 2010, he suffered in that race because of the votes for Obamacare and the stimulus package, which, you know, Obamacare hasn't proven very popular. It's been kind of up and down the polls. But in 2010, in particular, those are very bad issues. They kind of undercut the Feingold image, if you will, of being this good steward of the taxpayer dollar. Can he get that back? Also, another kind of interesting question with this race is we're seeing a kind of an outsider environment right now in the national political scene. Look at the results, for example, in Kentucky on Tuesday. They're looking at why is Donald Trump and Ben Carson at the top of the polls in the Republican primary. People seem to be, now right now, we're talking right now, in the mood for somebody who's not a career politician, an outsider. Who will be the outsider next fall? The incumbent, Ron Johnson, who's only been there for 4.5 years, but is the incumbent, or Russ Feingold, who is not in the Senate, but had been there for 18 years. You know, it's really an interesting dynamic to watch if either can capture that sentiment. And Feingold used to do a good job of tapping into that. Well, even though we don't agree, you know, I've stood for A, B, and C, and he had a good reputation because of people I've seen this or edited stories for reporters I have watched Feingold back in 04, for example, shaking hands and people saying, I don't agree with you, Russ, but, you know, you're standing up for what you believe in, and I like that. Can you recapture that? Because if we talked about the environment next year, if it is, you know, the trend where we're going to go blue as a presidential state, which is not a guarantee, what if it goes red? This is the exact opposite happens, and where Ron Johnson is in a better spot because of that. And can Russ Feingold fight against the tide and win even though we go for Republican in the presidential race? I think Feingold, the last candidate I can remember, who ran top of the ticket and fought against that tie, in 1998, where he won re-election in the Senate at the same time that Tommy Thompson won the state for governor. That doesn't happen very often in Wisconsin anymore. So it'll be an interesting dynamic to watch as well.
Well, Brett on Facebook writes, and he might have taken this out of the anti-Feingold ad, Russ Feingold voted to raise taxes on hardworking families 278 times. Again, what do we know about Feingold's record on taxes, and how big of a deal will that issue be in this election?
Well, you go back to, let's see, what was it, 1993, when Clinton was still president, there was a tax package that he pushed through, for example, that, you know, Democrats credit with the big turnaround for the economy in the 90s. Republicans think was not a great thing. There's one example I can have off the top of my head. I mean, sitting here, I can't go through every vote that Russ Feingold did and said how many times he did vote for tax increases, but there are examples like that. There are procedural votes. I mean, it doesn't matter for the ad's sake of what kind of vote it was. It matters that it would have increased taxes or not. They can use that in their tally and then present this number, which doesn't really have any context, but it is a number they can put out there and try and burn into the public's brain of, hey, this guy's raised taxes. Now, is that a potent issue? We'll see. You know, sometimes people in politics joke that show me Democrat doesn't want to raise taxes for, you know, it doesn't know. I don't know if that I make that joke or quote that joke because sometimes the attack isn't very effective anymore with Democrats because people have kind of gotten used to hearing it so much, you know.
Right.
So it's like, well, okay, big deal. Next. What's up next? But we'll see.
Let's go to Mark in Greenfield. Almost out of time, Mark.
Okay. I guess I'll have to be brief then. I remember Mr. Feingold voted against the Patriot Act, and I support him for that reason alone. That had serious implications, including with the Snowden fiasco. Anything I've ever heard from Mr. Johnson is repealing Obamacare. It's almost like it's a broken record there.
Yeah, and will that repealing Obamacare resurface again?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, that's also part of the Republican playbook on Feingold to try to remind people of that vote. You know, it depends on which poll you look at of where it's at in Wisconsin right now. But it's not really been a 55-plus issue, if you will. So will that be, A, damaging with the middle road voter, and B, will it motivate Republicans to turn out and vote against Feingold? Those kinds of things. It goes back to, again, to trying to remind people of the votes that he took while he was in office and trying to take some of the sheen off of Russ Feingold.
And less than a minute to go, what about Feingold's vote against the Patriot Act? Is that still going to help him with voters?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, in some ways, Feingold supporters would say he's been proven right by what's happened in the changing debate we saw from, was that 2001 or 2 versus the last few years. So for him, you know, he's kind of stood up and said, look, I was the first one out there to see these problems and predict them. I've been proven right. So, you know, it's kind of reminds people of that maverick piece of the Russ Feingold kind of image. So it probably isn't going to hurt him at this point. I'd say that for sure.
Well, this was the first time we've focused on the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin during On the Campaign Trail, but I'm sure it won't be the last. Thank you very much, J.R. Ross, for being with us.
Anytime. Have a great day.
J.R. Ross is the editor at wispolitics.com. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Chris Molina for on-air direction and to Cheryl Gasser for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Coming up in our next hour, we will talk with a guest columnist about the pros and cons of being Midwest nice. What does Midwest nice mean to you? And then coming up tomorrow at this time, we are going to talk about reptiles. That's right, reptiles, amphibians, and other creatures coming up tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.